Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Strategies of Success. You know, today we're going to go back to the world of sales. Back to, hey, do we ever really leave sales? Regardless of what it is that you are doing at any stage in your life, that selling process is there. It might not be something on the forefront of your mind, but no matter what, you are selling or you are presenting or you are trying to convince somebody to see things from your perspective. Could be something as early, you know, when you were a kid, you know, everybody wanted to decide what movie they wanted to go see. You had an opinion as to what it was. You were selling that idea. You were selling that concept to everybody. You were listening to what everybody wanted, and then you were taking that and putting your own spin on it. Well, as we get older, as we start businesses, we take that sales process with us. And it is that where we could really become very, very effective in how we present ideas, how we see other people, and how we get them to look at things from our point of view, because sometimes people do need to be guided as to what it is that they are looking to purchase, whatever it might be. And they're looking for your expertise. Well, today, I have decided to look for the expertise of somebody who has been in the sales business for many decades, who has seen things from his perspective and learned things all along the way, and he is going to share some of those ideas, some of those strategies that he has learned on his trek, on his goals as had he became that sales superstar himself. And his name is Mark Tuart. Mark, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on Strategies of Success.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. You know, people say, oh, I'm not in sales. You know, bull, to put it in one sentence, bull, no matter what it is. You know, you go for that job interview. You're in sales. You're selling yourself. You are trying to get somebody to do something that they may not know that they want to do, which is, one, hire you. Even as a kid looking for different colleges that you're applying to, you're in sales. Again, you're trying to sell yourself. And then obviously in the world of being a salesperson, somebody on commission, you're absolutely on sales. Does the process really change altogether too much as we grow through the years?
No, it really doesn't. It's amazing. And it's funny that you say that because I think the first chapter in my book, How to Be a Sales Superstar, the title is Daddy, I Want to Be a Salesperson. And the gist of that title is probably no kid ever whispered that or said that phrase, Daddy, I want to be a salesperson. So often we don't grow up thinking, hey, I'm going to go sell something. But if you look at the opposite perspective, the very best salespeople on earth are kids. Kids never quit. They have multiple different ways to get what they want, persuasion, et cetera. So it just continues for the rest of your life. And if I can, let me give you a quick little example of what you just said. To be successful in anything, I don't care if you just want to get a better job, if you want to get a promotion, if you want to get the best date you can, whatever it is, you have to sell and persuade. And recently I was speaking at a conference, and it was the National Collegiate Coaches Recruiting Conference. And these were coaches anywhere from Division I, II, and III from all over the country that are recruiting young athletes for all kinds of sports. And the first thing that we had to cover and go over in my speech at that program was, you have to understand that you're a salesperson, and there are a lot of coaches and a lot of people that don't really truly get that. And they think that there's something less than desirable about being a salesperson. So they had to have that perspective of being a salesperson. And the most noble job on earth, I believe, I really believe this, is to be a salesperson, because there's an old phrase that nothing happens anywhere, anytime, anyway, unless something is sold. Everything you see, do, wear, everything you are every single day happens because somebody sold something somewhere. And oddly enough, as we dove into it at that conference, here were college coaches. And I had to explain strategies, tactics, and ideas that would help them in being a better salesperson when they're in front of the recruit, when they're in front of the parents. And that's no different than when I'm dealing with recently speaking at an event that was the oldest pump company in the United States, or whether it's an automotive salesperson, real estate, the strategies and techniques are culturally a little bit different. But other than that, what you just said, it's pretty much the same no matter what industry or association you go to.
You know, it's funny you bring up the presentation about being in front of coaches, because sometimes I see being a salesperson is almost like being a coach. So if I'm coaching somebody, then aren't I trying to get the best out of them? Aren't I looking to have them see things from my perspective as to the most effective way to, whatever it is, you know, be a football player, baseball player, or whatever likes may be? And then sales, kind of the same concept, or am I kind of stretching that one just a little bit too much? Or is there somewhat of a blending between those two roles, coach versus salesperson?
No, you're 100% correct. And one of the very first things I shared with them is I wanted them to really grasp the idea that the root of the word sell, if you break it down to its most essential basic element, the root of the word sell means to serve. So if you're a coach, I am positive you got into coaching, I should say most likely, that you got into coaching because you want to serve. You want to serve young men and women. You want to serve your university. You want to serve who it is that you're working for. So if you switch the concept from sales of being something that you do to somebody, which it's not, sales is something that you do with somebody, for somebody, trying to help somebody. And I just take the longer view of sales of saying that you're trying to serve somebody. And in sales, all you're really doing is helping somebody solve their own problem, not yours, helping them solve their own problem, that you help them by finding a way that they can feel the emotion and then justify with logic to be able to solve their own problem. And when you switch that perspective and you're truly come from the right place of heart, you tend to sell more. And when you said about being able to direct somebody a little bit more, you know, than maybe what some people are comfortable, that's also a perspective that you have to switch your mindset. And what I shared with them is, listen, if you're in front of a recruit and you're in front of a parent and you really truly believe in yourself, your program, your university, and what it can do for that kid, what it can do for that family, if you're not giving it everything you have and every tool that you have, and if you view that as pushing, it's not pushing. It's your view of what you're doing and how you're doing it. If you're not doing that, then you're not doing well enough for that particular customer client, which is that young person and their parent. So it's all a viewpoint.
And it's most important to understand that you are serving. And you know, that's an interesting – I've never heard it really phrased that way. But certainly if I'm selling something and it's only for my benefit, well, then that's not good. You know, because that's seen as like a quote-unquote salesperson. But if you're understanding, as the salesperson, really understanding why that person is standing in front of you in the first place, why they came into your place of business, why they are looking for your service, and why and what their pain point is, which ultimately that's what you're looking to fulfill, that's really where you become not only effective, but also serving and somebody who really provides that value. And I'm sure from the referral standpoint, if you're able to figure out what the client's pain point is and to satisfy that, they're going to go out there and tell a couple of friends, aren't they?
Absolutely. And, Brian, all decisions in life, whether it's sales or anything else, when somebody's buying something, or all decisions are based upon pleasure or pain. They're either moving towards pleasure or away from pain. And if somebody is moving towards pleasure, it's the idea of what they're going to get from this or away from pain of their current situation. And just identifying somebody's psychology of their leverage point and their motivation. And then another key point in sales is to figure out what their current situation is and how they've made decisions in the past. If you find out from somebody how they think when they buy, how they think when they make decisions, and what motivates their current situation, you always have to go to that and figure people out, because there's a pattern there. I call the pattern searching. And then just remember, what you're giving somebody is hope for gain. that you take their situation, and you're right, they wouldn't be talking to you unless they had a problem, and that problem is either wants or needs. They either want it so bad it's a problem, or they need it so bad it's a problem, whatever that may be. And then at that point, when you're giving them hope for gain of whatever your solution is, your product, your service, and just to play upon that a little bit, giving the example of these coaches, one of the things I shared is a common theme that I see that they were doing, and this is done throughout any and all industries, and I call it looping, and that is they want to tell everybody why they're the best, why they're the greatest. We have the best university, the best academics, the best this, or we have the best company, the best product, the best service. And you have to understand after a while, people tune you out with that because everybody says that. And it becomes not believable. It's not that you don't want to put your best foot forward, but you have to wrap that up in a story, in a way that you could do that. Simple selling. It's called FABS, features, advantages, benefits, and then wrap it up in a story. Give people a relevant story that they can relate to of how your product or service would work for them, or how it has worked for others, or how it has worked for you. And then also in regards to that, do the opposite of what everybody else does. Make a damaging admission. In other words, cut yourself a little bit and tell them also right up front what you're not the best of. And I'll give you a quick example of this. My son is starting to be recruited for football. He's going into his junior year. And we went on a junior day recruiting visit. And this particular coach at this university got up and spoke for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and he was masterful. But one of the things he did very well that caught the attention of the parents and the kids in the room was he told them why not to come to that university. And the more that he did that, you could see them moving up in their seats and the believability and the character and the trust that he was building. Everybody else would just normally share, here's why you buy from me. Here's why you buy from me. We're the biggest. We're the best, whatever. And people go, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, he was saying, here's why you don't want to come here. And that caught people's attention, and then he brought it back to the reason of why you would want to come there. And that's a very unique and different approach. I've been known for years, starting three decades ago, as a contrarian. I look at all sales processes, marketing processes, and say, if I just did the opposite versus what everybody else or the industry or your associations, et cetera, would do, would that make sense? And that was a very good example of that.
That's an attention grabber. It certainly is. You know, from a guy that talks to people about making presentations and how to get people to listen, you've got to throw in there something that's unexpected, something humorous, whatever. But as a salesperson, it's to talk about your weaknesses, where we would not fit, you know, into a scenario. That is totally on the unexpected side, and so many people don't look at it that way. How can I stand in front of a group of people or, you know, a prospective client and tell you what I'm not good at? Doesn't that knock down my quote-unquote thought of and the perception that I want you to know me as being an expert? But it doesn't.
No,
You're telling me. It just absolutely builds my credibility.
I think it actually does the opposite. You have to risk to win. You know, could there be a situation that you'll lose? When sales, you often lose a lot more than you win. And to be brilliant, you have to be resilient. But I don't want everybody. This goes back to step number one. The biggest mistake I see in sales is that companies and salespeople try to shotgun approach, and they try to be everything to everybody. When you try to be everything to everybody, you're nothing to no one. And what I want to do is select a key market that I'm looking for. I want to identify targets within a market that I'm looking for. And then at that point, I can reverse engineer how to get to those key targets, the key people. And then I'll just give you a strategy that I use, and it's heartfelt. It's real. And that is when people contact me, if for an example, or if I've contacted them and there's interest, I don't immediately try to sell and close them. Everybody else talks about selling and closing. Listen, the old adage, the old thing that you've heard going back to the play and the movie, ABC, always be closing. Frankly, being very upfront and you know, a little over top on this, when I hear that, it makes me want to throw up. When I hear people say that, I know that they probably don't sell a lot and they're trying to teach people how to sell and probably never sold a lot themselves, because if you're always closing, that customer feels that, senses that, and pushes you away. What I have to do is always be opening. I want to open up a process that allows trust and value and character, and somebody can, at that point, make a better decision. So for me personally, rather than jumping into the close or trying to get somebody to do business immediately, I reverse that. And I always just say, what I would like to do is take anywhere from an hour, hour and a half, and there's a lot of questions I would like to ask of you to get a better knowledge of you, what you're looking to accomplish, what's worked for you, what hasn't worked for you, where you see yourself a year from now, 5 years from now, if I could assist you. And at the end of that hour, hour and a half, I think you'll have a very good understanding of whether I can assist you, because I'll give you a game plan from what I've heard at that point of where I think we could go. I'll also have a very good idea whether I think I'm a good fit for you and I can help you and you of me as well. And at that point, there's sometimes, Mr. Customer, that I often tell the potential client like yourself that I'm probably not the best fit for you, or I don't think I could help you. And I'll be very upfront about whether I think that I can, and I think you'll know that as well. And I can tell you, Brian, when I do that, because it's heartfelt and it's real, and when you're willing to reject something, nature abhors a vacuum, and you're willing to let something go that you don't think is a good fit, the world will bring you something that's a better fit and a better potential client. Don't be everything to everybody. And what happens is the people begin to sincerely understand and trust you, that you have their best interest at heart, which is the first stage. And the second thing is, it's a little bit of a takeaway. Because you're not jumping in and taking it and trying to, quote, close it, what happens is they want you almost invariably twice as much, and they begin to tell you all their problems. And they tell you their pain, as you mentioned. And they clearly tell you what it would take for them to buy. So you're reversing the process to where you don't have to sell. All you're doing is putting your client in a position to buy from you.
And haven't you done that wonderful thing called building trust?
Without trust, nothing else happens. I've never had anybody say, Mark, I'm going to buy from you. I want you to help us. I want you to speak. I want you to train. I want you to consult, because, you know, we just don't trust you.
It doesn't really work that way. Yeah.
No.
You can get away with that on a comedy stage, because it's just that 10 minutes or 8 minutes of pure, utter nonsense that's up there. You're making people laugh. But if you are looking to develop a relationship with somebody, you know, trust is absolutely everything. So, yeah, sharing those things certainly does make sense. And you know, with thinking about what you're talking about, it seems like the more you do that, the more you sit and listen and figure out exactly how you fit in, the more you clearly understand who you are and what value you actually provide to somebody. And you and I could be talking about the law of attraction in this one too, because you're really putting it out to that person, to the universe, whatever, you know, a clear set of goals and a clear set of your attributes for people to understand and for that person to pass along, even if they don't fit within the parameters of your service or product or whatever the case may be. You've got a time management thing in there too, because, you know, nothing more frustrating than trying to help somebody that you know you really can't help, but you're trying to make it work anyhow just for the sake of the sale. It's just not in anybody's best interest. And that's a great way of approaching the whole process right from the start. You're building trust. You're understanding their needs. You're understanding your own value. That's a great takeaway. Great takeaway.
Brian, it's a futile effort, and what happens is when you're trying to sell to clients that don't have the want or need, or you're not a good fit for, or you don't think that you want, you'll never allow yourself to have something better. And the reality is, I hear people in businesses say, well, I need this, or we're in the beginning stages, or we're growing, so I need this business. And I share with them, I say, if you need something so much, you're needy. And needy people rarely get what they want. Start with what you want and stay true to that focus, and you'll get more of that. But as long as you're acting needy, you're going to continually be feeding needs And it just doesn't work to grow your business. So you're dealing with clients you don't want, helping them with things that you probably can't help them with in a way that you shouldn't help them with. And it also puts you in a position of what I call being a beggar. And when you're begging for business, people sense that, and you can't buy a sale. You can't buy a deal. You have to be confident. And the way to be confident is to be competent. If you're competent in your skills, if you're competent in what your game plan, your strategy is, of who you're looking for, what you want in life, you will be a lot more confident, not arrogant, but a lot more confident. And people buy confidence, not arrogance. I've never had anybody buy from me saying, Mark, we're going to do business with you because you seem pretty unsure of yourself. You're not very confident, and you seem like you just need a sale. So we're going to help you out and do business with you today. Good enough? It just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. Not even from a family member does it work that way.
No.
Maybe for a newspaper subscription, but that's about that. It just doesn't happen. Oh, I like the way you talk. You talk in story form. I could visualize this whole darn process. You know, that's great. So the world of pleasure, your business has migrated over the years, or maybe it hasn't migrated. You've just continued to grow. So you mentioned you've been in the sales business, you know, for some 30-odd years, mostly within the auto industry. You want to just talk about how your path, how you got started and how your path has grown? Because now you're doing so much. And from my perspective, it looks like you're doing the fun side of it, the presentations, you know, these podcasts, the radio shows, TV stuff. It's all great.
Yeah, I'm very blessed, thank you, and I really enjoy what I do because I feel like I'm assisting and helping others to figure out a way that they can grow. It's arrogant of me to say that I help others. I think all I do is assist them in figuring it out for themselves. But you're correct. I have a little bit of a unique story of how I got started in sales. Once again, I don't know that anybody comes out of the womb and instead of crying says, hey, I want to be a salesperson. So like a lot of people, I almost backed into it. And I grew up in the Midwest in a steel town, and it was a very bad economy at the time. And I wanted to go to school. I kind of grew up on the bad side of the tracks. My parents didn't have money for me to go to college. And I had a car where the engine had blown. But I saw on the news one night in Houston, Texas, that the oil was booming. I bought a ticket, and I flew to Houston, Texas with $272 in my pocket without a place to stay, no friends, no job, no nothing. And I wound up staying there about 6 years. I was going to the University of Houston. I got a job in a day, and I was working full-time, going to school full-time, and was so broke I couldn't pay attention. I mean, literally starving. And I needed to make money. And at that point, I was in between really even a place to stay, homeless. And so I went into a car dealership, which I never would have dreamed, you know, perception of car salespeople, et cetera. And I was very fortunate. I went into it, what at the time was one of the top, if not the top, Oldsmobile store in the whole country. And they had a very professional place. And they didn't hire people, young kids like me, but I wound up getting a job there anyway. And that was my start in sales. And because I was around a very good professional group of people, I learned so much. And I kept going through the ranks, and I did sales, I did leasing, I did finance and insurance position, and then eventually became one of the younger general manager and executive managers in the country at the age of 27, and was a general manager for several dealerships. And then kind of by accident, one day I was going over and doing a presentation at another auto mall that was owned by our owner because they were suffering a little bit. And we had about 150 people in the room. I did an hour's worth of training and speaking. And I got this standing ovation, and I went, wow, this is pretty cool. And I had, because of the success we had satellite TV show out of Texas that called me and said, hey, would you come tape some shows? And I did, and it went really well. And from there, I just broke off one day and started doing speaking, training, consulting, more training in the beginning, but people would see me train and ask me to speak. I did an event in the automotive industry for the Cleveland auto dealers one time, and a guy from a bank, at the time was the seventh largest bank in the country, saw me and said, hey, would you come speak on a regional basis for our bank? And I did one, and it went really well. I did three more. And then from there, it became from speaking to training the whole entire people in the sales and customer service end of it for their all of their branches all over the country. And from that, over the years, just from training and from referrals, as you mentioned, I have at different events evolved in to not only still working in the automotive industries with associations, and I speak at their national events, National Automobile Dealer Association Convention, but just to give you an idea, recently as varied, I've spoken to groups that were associations of CPAs, which, can you imagine speaking, you know, in a sales perspective to CPAs just tells you that sales applies to everybody. National Coaches Recruiting Convention, also the oldest pump company in the country. Yeah, I've done work with people and doing coaching for pharmaceutical. So all different types of industries, associations. And here's what I found that you said in the beginning, Brian. It just doesn't matter, although there's slight nuances. Believe it or not, almost all industries, almost all associations, almost all groups are very, very similar. There's so many similarities, even from what we call B2B or B2C, business to customer or business to business, that it is amazing. And so now my current status is we still do our work that we do with training and consulting and online training. And I have a TV show that's geared towards the automotive industry and do a lot of interviews, but also outside of the industry, just like with you, where I did a podcast recently interview with a big group out of England. So it's a lot of fun, and there are so many similarities from one industry to the other.
It's fantastic to hear that career path that you've taken, and the differences and the different situations that you've been in. So, it really is a great story, and understanding the fact that, you know, there is a world of possibilities out there. You just have to have that confidence to go and do. And sometimes your own needs give you that confidence so that, you know, where you will and are willing to take that chance and getting on that plane and going and taking care of everything. Hey, Mark, I really enjoyed our conversation. I thank you so much for joining us. Your website is Tewart Enterprises. That's www.tewart.com. People should be going to the website. You have a newsletter. There's different information that they could find out about you, and you are definitely available to still get on that plane and go and speak at a wide variety of locations.
And, Brian, if they could, if they're interested in my book, How to Be a Sales Superstar, you can go right on Amazon and put in that title or my name, Mark Tewart, like Stewart but no S, or go to my website at Tewart.com, and there's a link on there that will take you to Amazon for the book as well.
Yeah. And, Mark, again, thanks so much. Just one final comment, you know, before we break over here. If somebody is going into sales for the very first time, what would you think that their best thing to start with? Understanding who they are and what it is that they desire, or that gaining the expertise within the industry? Should they really understand who they are first?
Yes, I think there's an old saying. It's geared towards marketing, and you'll find out if you're going to be successful at sales, you got to be successful in marketing. And there's an old saying, I think it was Dan Kennedy that said it, that be somebody, be somewhere, and do something. Although you'll want to take any and all business, you know, coming your way that you're trying to find and market to everybody, that's not your greatest strategy. It's to try to figure out, be somebody. Who are you going to be, and where are you going to be at? Who are you going to do business with? Instead of a whole market, start to also niche and become a known expert in many different ways, whether it's online forums, social media, putting out content, networking like crazy. People can't do business with you if they don't know who you are. And it's a lot easier in sales if they're contacting you rather than you being a beggar and contacting them. You have to do both, But if you position yourself correctly, you could become, quote, a known expert in your industry in a very quick period of time.
Great advice. Thanks again, Mark. Absolutely terrific. So, folks, you want to go follow Mark, you want to go to his website. It's easy enough. It's just TEWART.com. There's a wealth of information on there and a fantastic book for you to pick up and read. And it does apply to anybody, any industry that wants to be. And this is where it's not everybody, but then for you that want to be a sales superstar, that really want to embrace the entire process so you could achieve whatever level of success that you are looking for. Mark will definitely be in touch. I look forward to seeing you at one of your presentations and, of course, following you as you move forward and with the book and the TV and everything else. So, again, thank you one more time. All right, folks.
Thank you.
You know, you've been listening to Strategies of Success. You know, when we do these programs, we really want you to walk away with three different actionable ideas. You know, and Mark hit on so many of them. But the one and probably most important thing to understand is who you are. Because once you understand who you are, the value that you provide, then you can interview the person that you are trying to work with and make sure that they're a right fit for you and that you are a right fit for them. Hey, the other thing is become an expert, you know, in your marketing, in how you are effectively going out there and doing what it is that you're doing. And embrace change. Mark has grown throughout the years. Every one of us grows throughout the years. You know, don't be so focused on one thing that you're not looking at other things along the way and other approaches. It's an evolving economy. It's an evolving industry, whatever industry that you may be in, and you too are evolving as the years progress. My name is Brian Cohen. This has been Strategies of Success. Follow Mark. Understand where his levels of expertise are, what he could provide to you, so you too can become that sales superstar.